featuring David Rovex, international folk singer-songwriter, and emceed by KBOO's own Mike Crenshaw. Again, that's Free 'Em All, a benefit to support political prisoners on Saturday, June 14th, 7 p.m. at Portland State University Smith Memorial Ballroom. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Like to take a cement fix, be a standing cinema. Dress my friends up just for show, see them as they really are. But the people in my brain, two new pens to have a go. I'd like to be a gallery, put you all inside my show. Andy Warhol looks a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
I'm Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Radio. My guest this week is Laura Russell, owner of 23 Sandy Gallery. This month, she has a show called Book Power, featuring books focusing on social and political issues. The show features 61 books by 54 artists, and it runs until July 26th. Welcome to KBOO, Laura.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So this is a book art show where you go in and they're books are piled up on the tops of bookcases, and you can, some of them you can touch.
You can.
There are just a large a range of different shapes, which is fascinating. One of the ones that first caught my eye was a flexagon. Could you just tell us a bit about that?
Sure. This book is called The Cycle of Censorship. It's by a California artist named Dina Scheel. And it was made for a project called the Al-Mutanabbi Street Starts Here Coalition, which commemorates the bombing of Baghdad's literary community and bookseller street in 2007. It is a Japanese origami flexagon structure that turns and contains pages that are burned. It contains pages of an Arabic newspaper that are burned, and it makes a statement about censorship and bombing in Iraq.
So it feels like a sort of a stretchy, kind of a woven thing.
Yeah.
I guess it is like, it's origami, but in each kind of pocket, there are pieces of burnt text.
Right. It's almost like a toy. Mm-hmm. You can manipulate it and turn it, and it turns itself inside out and becomes this never-ending cycle piece, and it's really an amazing sculpture. A lot of people know these structures, these flexagon structures, as toys, and pick it up and know exactly what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that she's using this very playful structure for a very deep subject, a very difficult subject, is kind of interesting to see people's reactions to it.
There are other works inspired by that tragedy.
There are. I believe we have four different works in the show about this bombing on Al-Mutanabbi Street in 2007. There is one by Bettina Pauly, another California artist. There's another one that's cut paper by Amaranth Borsuk, who is in Washington State, that is about tears. And the paper is, the letters of the book are actually cut out on a die cutter.
Mm-hmm.
It's really beautiful.
That is quite amazing. It's folded, so it's a long strip of white paper or card folded back and forth, and you all the words are semi cut out.
Right.
So like the top of the word is cut free, but right, the bottom is still part of the paper.
Right.
And when it's all crunched up together, when you open it, it makes a noise. The letters catch on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And what did the artist say that was for?
It's just one of her ways of rounding out the visual effect of the book, is incorporating some sort of a sound element. The book is also enclosed in a plexiglass case, so it becomes very much a sculpture, an immovable sculpture that can be manipulated by the viewer.
What was that artist called?
Amaranth Borsuk. And I'm probably saying her name wrong. It's B-O-R-S-U-C-K.
Mm-hmm. And the title is Where Are the Tears?
Yes, and it translates into a Latin
name.
Yeah,
it comes from the Latin sunt lacrimae rerum.
There you go.
Which is from Aeneas is looking at a mural about the Trojan War memorial. And he's saying, where are the tears? And so this sound is supposed to be an elegy, the sound right. The paper makes as you open it.
Yeah, exactly.
But when it's just sitting there on a shelf with a bright light above it, it does look like a beautiful sculpture. Mm-hmm. The shadows that play on it are amazing.
That's part of the great thing about artist books is you see this beautiful object and you're very drawn into it. And once you get into it, you may discover a very deep concept, a very important story behind the book, or a very moving a narrative that's attached to the book that can, because the artist can explore such a deep theme, it's not just a pretty object, it can go much farther beyond that.
Mm-hmm. There is one that is not pretty at all. It's a Jim Lomason piece,
right? And
it's like an old ring binder that you'd find at Goodwill, a black one.
Exactly.
With three holes. And tell us what's inside.
So Jim has this really fantastic project that has been in exhibitions here in Portland many times. It's called What We Carried. And he has worked with a group of Iraqi refugees who have come to have resettled in Portland. He met with them and asked them for one object that was really important for them to carry here from Iraq. So it may have been a Quran, it may have been a photo of a loved one, it may have been a particular garment, it could have been a photo album, some very important object. He photographed that object and then gave them a print of the photo and asked them to write or draw on the print to explain the significance of this piece they carried all the way from Iraq. So he has assembled the photographs of these pages into a book and tells the story of this immigrant and what they did to come here. Mm-hmm. It's really a very powerful document, and it is included in there is photographs of some of the refugees, and you see great joy on their faces, and it's I think most of them are very happy to be here. Mm-hmm. Even with few little things they brought with them.
It does seem book arts are normally done by people who draw and paint and sculptors rather than photographers?
Any medium. We have artist books made by every kind of artist there is. And that's one of the best things about book art is that you can incorporate any medium, any material, any structure. And it's a wide open field. You're not limited to a two-dimensional canvas. You're not limited to a certain kind of material. It's a wide open endeavor.
There's a great one. It's a mix and match families. It's
right.
Four, so I think it's spiral bound flip book. Mm-hmm. So there are four vertical panels and different types of people. Mm-hmm. So there's men, women, children, different ethnicities. And you just flip the pages. And it's like one of those, you know, make a monster out of four different heads
right.
and tails. But in this case,
that's called the exquisite corpse, where you're mixing the heads and the tails
right.
and the bodies.
But right. in this case, what are you doing?
In this particular case, you're mixing up families. It could be two moms and two children. It could be an interracial couple. You're sort of picking one from each column and creating your own family. It's called Mix and Match Families. It's by an artist in the East Coast named Jamie Lynn Schaefer. And somebody who is a student at Corcoran College, and I discovered her work at a conference on book arts in January and was just blown away by how moving this piece was. It's really important about our mixed families these days and how it makes a great statement about what is a family and mm-hmm. how many possibilities there are for creating a family.
You so you put out a call for these books. What did you ask for?
I did. I was approached by the University of Puget Sound to put together this show. I put out an international call for entries for artists to create work for our theme called Book Power. We specifically asked for books about any type of social or political issue. And we mentioned that we had a strong interest in race and discrimination for this particular show, given the fact that at the University of Puget Sound, they have a conference on race and pedagogy happening in September. So this show is actually going to travel to the university during this conference. And we really, really were interested in having artists make new work specifically for this theme. We received 220 books from artists from all over the world, and it was a very difficult process.
These were things, online entries.
Right. The artists submit online and send us four photographs of each work.
So these are artists. I think a book arts is like people sitting around putting, you know, Baudelaire poems in funny fonts, you know, in strange shaped books.
Right.
But these are all people responding to, you know, social issues and things that have happened, tragedies in some cases.
And I think most of them are using issues that are very, very important to them and very, very personal.
There's one by Lorinda Moholt called I'd Take Away the Guns.
Right.
And it's just, she's a calligrapher, right? So there's a lot of writing in it, and there's a lot of collage from newspapers.
Right. Newspaper clippings, collage. And it's her statement about all of this gun violence that's happening and continues to happen over and over and over again. And what's really interesting about that book is after she made the book, it's many pages on craft paper, collage, and very elaborately calligraphied and painted. After she made the book and bound the cover, she shot the book with a gun. So there are bullet holes going right through the book. It's been, she says at the end of her artist statement, I did not like shooting the book. I did not like doing this.
Is that an edition of one?
It is. It's a unique, one-of-a-kind book.
Uh-huh. But some of the things she's writing, maybe it's the fast food, maybe it's the video games, things like that through the book. And these are pictures of the Sandy Hook kids.
Right.
So it's a very sort of emotional response.
It is.
Through media.
Very much so.
She's trying to capture in a book.
Mm-hmm. You have to be really passionate about an issue to spend as much time on a piece of artwork as it takes to create one of these books, because you get very, very absorbed in the issue, whether you're telling a personal story or researching the data behind the issue or however you're getting involved with it. Working in the book arts gives you a very intimate access to the issues, and it becomes a very personal, very important process for the artist in many cases. So I'm sure this started out with a very personal response from her.
Right. There are other personal ones. A couple of transgender books. Florian Pellucci. What's that one about?
That is called Are You Afraid of My Gender? I might have that title slightly wrong, but it's about it's Florian Pellucci and Alex Barnawell, and they are Midwest artists who are transgender and they refuse to use pronouns. They are interested in how do you move beyond using he and she, which can be offensive to or problematic for a transgender person, and how do we use they and them? And it's all exploring this issue. And the title of it is Are You Having Trouble with My Gender? So it's really a beautifully done, designed book. It's very graphic. It's very strong. It's it's a very smart book.
And nearby, there's one by Amy Reichen.
Right. Amy is a Tacoma artist. Uh-huh. And this one is called Are You a Boy or a Girl? And Amy is a professor at the University of Puget Sound, and she teaches teachers. And she goes
What kind of age teachers?
Teachers who are in graduate school to study to be teachers. She then goes into the classroom monitoring these teachers, and often is asked by 4 or 5 year old students, are you a boy or a girl? So Amy's book talks about her discussions with these 4 or 5 year old children who are not afraid to say to an adult, are you a boy or a girl? Something, you know, once we get older, we're taught never to ask a question like that. Mm-hmm. So she uses this as a chance to open a dialogue. She has to be very careful, though. She can't be too outright. It's more of her as a way of, she uses a questioning technique. You know, what do you think I am? Do you think I'm a boy or a girl? So it's a really fascinating story about this very personal, touchy subject for her. Mm-hmm.
And that book is not much to look at, really, is it? It looks right. Like it was done at Kinko's. Spiral bound,
exactly.
Color copy.
Exactly. It's a print-on-demand book, which mm-hmm. is very popular in the world of artist books these days.
It is?
It's not hand-bound.
Why is that popular now?
A lot of artists are using print-on-demand books as a way to make books in a more expedient manner. The process to bind a book by hand is very time-consuming and very difficult.
Isn't that the whole point?
Yeah, it is. But sometimes we can get our message out a lot faster if we're able to use a service like Lulu or Blurb and have this book produced quickly and get the message out a lot faster.
Mm-hmm. And then there's another one called I Have a Name, which is...
Right.
What was that? It's not a book. It's... what does it look like? A collection of paint chips on a string or
exactly.
sewn together?
And they're sewn together and it almost looks like a slinky. It kind of moves in a great fluid manner. It's by a Forest Grove artist named Patricia Grass. And she talks about how when she lived in the Philippines, she was always called that white woman. Mm-hmm. And she was very frustrated by that. She wanted to say, I'm not just this white woman. I am Patty. And so she uses these paint chips and the ridiculous names that paint companies use to identify paint colors and pairs that with a scale that talks about skin tones. Mm-hmm.
The von Lucian scale,
right.
Apparently.
That's it. And she shows us the scale on right. the box of the book.
So there are like 1 to 36. There are from white to dark brown.
Right.
And then she has paint chips mm-hmm. from a store. There are little squares sewn together on a big kind of loop.
Right.
Is that right?
Exactly.
And you can just flick through them and read the funny names.
Right.
But it's not a book. It's very much a sculpture. There are two
exactly.
pieces to it.
Right.
And you have to sort of interact with it.
Right. Right. You have to really open it up to be able to read it and understand what's going on
mm-hmm.
and what she's trying to tell you.
Yeah. I was surprised that you actually do quite a good trade selling these. And who's buying them?
I sell... most of the work I sell through the gallery is sold to university and museum libraries.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have special collections departments or rare book rooms that purchase artist books for either a special collections department and they're saved in these rare book rooms, or they may be used in a teaching collection to demonstrate structures and materials and techniques and concepts behind artist books.
Mm-hmm. So they're teaching students how to make books.
Exactly.
The binding mm-hmm. and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Or they may be even going as far as teaching literacy mm-hmm. through these art objects. And there's a whole range of things that they're using these books to teach or collect.
I'm Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Radio. My guest this week is Laura Russell, the owner of 23 Sandy Gallery. And this month's show there is called Book Power, and it runs until July 26th. So you are a book artist yourself. You have a studio in a book artsy building.
I do.
And you listen to one kind of music while you work. What is it?
I listen to one band while I work, and that is U2. In my studio work. I have 25 of their albums, I believe, and just listen to them over and over again.
So we're going to listen to a track today. What's it called?
It's called Sunday Bloody Sunday.
And it's from Under a Blood Red Sky.
Broken bottles on the children's feet and bodies strewn across the damn street. But I won't hear the bell and call. But it's not that come, my back up against the wall.
That was Sunday Bloody Sunday from Under a Blood Red Sky live at Red Rocks in Denver. So what do you like about that?
That song has a lot of personal significance to me because, first of all, I lived in Denver for 20 years and went to Red Rocks as often as I could. And they actually played there before I arrived. But that was one of my really touchstone albums when I was in college. It was very important. And what I like about that song is that it relates to this show. That song is a nonpartisan effort by the band to say, we've got to stop this hate and these killings. Of course, at the time, they were talking about the killings in Northern Ireland during the Troubles. And that song, I listened to it today, and the lyrics could be just as applicable today to our gun violence problem. Mm-hmm. So to me, that song is perfect for this show because it really could apply to so many issues of hate and violence that are talked about in so many of these books.
There's a really interesting book called Affluenza, mm-hmm. and it's a format I've never seen. It's a paper doll dress-up
right.
set. So it's a cardboard suitcase and a woman's form and a bunch of clothes that you can hang on her. What else is there?
There are shopping bags inside this box that contains the paper doll and the clothing. And there are hundreds of pieces of clothing that you could use as paper dolls with the little tabs that attach to the doll. And it's by Catherine Miller and Monique Martin from Saskatchewan, Canada. And it's, to them, a statement about the rampant consumerism of our society today and how we just all have too much stuff. And why does this woman have all of these clothes that are in this, it's a bigger wardrobe than anybody would ever need. So it's a great statement on consumerism.
And there's a poem printed on a piece of paper.
There is. And the poem is printed and designed to mimic a sales receipt from a cash register. Mm-hmm. So it's really fantastic.
So really long, and it has those funny bits of punctuation.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
In the back room, you have a glass case. I guess it's pieces that are either sold. You don't want people touching them.
Right.
There's a Bonnie Meltzer in there, one of her
right.
Coltrane
right.
things made out of maps woven together. Mm-hmm. And then that one, Where Are the Tears in Things, is in there. Mm-hmm. What else is in there?
In that case is also a really fantastic book by a local artist named Susan Collard. And it is called My Little Book of Suicides. And it's a very, very personal book that talks about her brother committing suicide. And she not only tells the story of her brother and works out her feelings about this grief that she's feeling, but also has collected a lot of statistics about suicide and especially suicide by gun violence. So it's a very deep and powerful and intimate book. It's small. And it, you feel her pain in this book. It's really a remarkable book.
And it's writing. You're meant to read.
Right.
Take you a while to read it.
Yes. Susan is a poet. So the writing is really good.
Mm-hmm. And then there's another book also about gun violence. Well, about gun violence called Rise, 365
right.
Days.
Yes.
And it's white paper, again, folded over. Is it? No, it's just a chunky white book.
It's a chunky white accordion, and it has at least 365 pages because mm-hmm. there is a page for every day. It's by Sarah Mallory, and each day there is the date is punched out of the book, so it's cut out of the book, and each day there is a dove that is punched out of the book, so it's cut out. Each day is the number of minors who have died by gun violence in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's collected these statistics, and each day is stamped. Some days there are no deaths, but then some days the page is almost full of these bird
cutouts. So these are holes mm-hmm. shaped like a dove in
exactly.
a white piece of paper.
Yeah, it's a very powerful piece.
Yeah, and there's no words.
No words.
Just the pages are numbered, but mm-hmm. the whole thing is like mm-hmm. you pick it up and you just leaf through it.
Right.
Sort of.
Right.
There is another one about gun violence, and it's another Sandy Hook one. Somebody got a bunch of teddy bears, one for each
right.
kid
right.
and an apple for each teacher who died or adult. And did what?
This is by Ginger Burrell from Palo Alto, California, and she photographed in her studio a teddy bear for each student who died at Sandy Hook, and then created almost this class photograph using the teddy bears as stand-ins for the faces of the children and using an apple as a stand-in for each teacher. Mm-hmm. And for her, it was she was very, very moved by this tragedy, and she couldn't really process it by looking at their faces, and it was almost too much to deal with. So the teddy bears were a way for her to look at this subject more deeply without being so deeply affected.
Mm-hmm. There's another one about suicide. It's a guy. Was it a guy? Aaron Crash.
Yeah.
He made a little stamp saying the author of this book committed suicide. Checked out all these books by, you know, Hemingway and people who kill themselves,
right,
and stamped it. And
right,
then made a kind of pile of them.
Right.
And then he scanned every page that he'd stamped.
He stamped the title page of each of these library,
right,
books.
And then returned the books, but mm-hmm, made a book out of the title pages.
Right.
So
mm-hmm,
I guess you're reading it and you're thinking, oh, Guy Debord killed himself.
Or, right,
you know.
Exactly.
What is that? It's kind of performance. You're not meant to stamp books.
Right. I think that is actually a social art project, which is very important in art schools these days. There are a lot, mm-hmm, of
social practice
students. And he really saw this as a performance project. He's checking out these books. He's documenting the books that he's checking out from the library. I believe it's a Brooklyn public library. I could be wrong about that. But his process is to return these books and put them back into the world and put them back out into circulation so that someday somebody might check out this book and say, what does this stamp mean? Why does this say this, the author of this book committed suicide, and who did this? And I think he's trying to draw some attention to this issue of suicide and how tragic it really is.
Mm-hmm. So what's going on in the Portland book art scene?
Oh, Portland is an amazing town for book arts. We have probably more talented and highly respected and upper level collected experienced book artists than any town I've ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
It's really amazing the amount of talent that we have here. There's a lot of activity. There are a lot of workshops. We have a gallery here that's all book arts all the time. We have a lot of classes out at Oregon College of Art and Craft where they bring in national teachers. There is just a lot happening in the book arts. People, when I travel and I say I'm from Portland, they really feel like Portland is sort of a nexus,
mm-hmm,
for the book arts.
And we got Jim at the library.
Exactly. Jim Carman at the Multnomah County Library manages the John Wilson Special Collections Room and does a great job of amassing a really terrific collection of important books.
And you have a studio in a building full of book arts people?
Right.
What's that called?
I have a studio at M-Space, which is a community letterpress studio. It's located over on 5th and Davis, Northeast, just a couple blocks from here. Upstairs, there's a guy who does wood construction installation, and another guy who is a laser cutter.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a great grouping of book artists and design studios and fabrication studios. It's an amazing space.
My name is Joseph Gallivan, and you've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Radio. My guest this week was Laura Russell. She's the owner of 23 Sandy Gallery, and the show there is called Book Power. It runs until July 26th, and it's open 3 days a week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, from noon to 6. The website is 23sandy.com. It's worth checking that out because it is a pretty amazing show. So thanks for coming in, Laura.
Great. Thank you for having me, Joseph.
Maybe it's the books, maybe Maybe it's the bullets, maybe it's the real crooks, maybe it's the drugs, maybe it's the parents, maybe it's the colors everybody's wearing, maybe it's the president, maybe it's the last one, maybe it's the one before that, what he'd done, maybe it's the high schools, maybe it's the teachers, maybe it's the tattooed children in the bleachers, maybe it's the Bible, maybe it's the lack, maybe it's the music, maybe it's the crack, maybe it's the hairdos, maybe it's the TV, maybe it's the cigarettes, maybe it's the family, maybe it's the fast food, maybe it's the news, maybe it's divorce, maybe it's abuse, maybe it's the lawyers, maybe it's the prisons, maybe it's the senators, maybe it's the system, maybe it's the fathers, maybe it's the sons, maybe it's the sisters, maybe it's the moms, maybe it's the radio, maybe it's road rage, maybe El Nino, where you be raised, maybe it's the army, maybe it's the liquor, maybe it's the papers, maybe the militia, maybe it's the athletes, maybe it's the ads, maybe it's the sports fans, maybe it's a fad, maybe it's the magazines, maybe it's the internet, maybe it's a lottery, maybe it's the immigrants, maybe it's taxes, big business, maybe it's the KKK and the skinheads, maybe it's the communists, maybe it's the Catholics, maybe it's the hippies, maybe it's the addicts, maybe it's the art, maybe it's the sex, maybe it's the homeless, maybe it's the banks, maybe it's the clear cut, maybe it's the ozone, maybe it's the chemicals, maybe it's the car phone, maybe it's the fertilizer, maybe it's the nose rings, maybe it's the ends, but I know one thing, if it were up to me, I'd take away the guns, I'd take away the guns, I'd take away the guns.
You're listening to KBOO Portland Community Radio. Yeah!
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 13th annual Explorando on Saturday, June 14th at Whitaker Ponds Nature Park from 1 to 5 p.m. Explorando will feature live music, folkloric dances, guided canoe trips, hands-on environmental activities by rock climbing wall, and more! Explorando gives people the opportunity to learn about the importance of preserving the nature of the Columbia Slough. Again, that's Explorando, June 14th at Whitaker Ponds Nature Park from 1 to 5 p.m. More information can be found on kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage.